start your day of doing. Rabbi David Straw.
Good morning, everyone. The parasha starts off with the brachas. And first, the parasha starts in Mechukosai Teilechu. We all know Rashi says it means if we're going to be amelim b'Torah, we're going to exert ourselves in limut ha-Torah, ves mitzvaysai tishmuru v'asisa moisom, we're going to keep the mitzvahs, then Hashem will give us all these brachas. Later on, the Torah says, if not, then fakeh. But let's look at the brachas. The first bracha is, v'nosati gishmeichem be'itom. Hashem will give us the rain be'itom. We all know Rashi brings the Gemara in Tanis. I'll read out from the Gemara. The Gemara in Tanis brings two explanations of what be'itom means in the right time. What's pshat be'itom? So first Gemara says, is it's not going to be rain which is shekira, or rain which is a lot, like a shekira drinks a lot. It's not going to be rain which is too much, because then it will make the ground too wet and it'll be too soggy and won't be pleasant. Veloi tzameo, and not thirsty. It won't be a little bit of rain, which won't be enough in order to plant your things. Ela beinonis, so it'll be a medium amount of rain, enough for what you need. That's what it means be'itom. Be'itom in the right time, in the right amount, the right quantities, exactly the way you need it. Dova acher, another pshat in the Gemara says, in which this pshat Rashi brings down, it's going to be rain, lele shabosois velele revi'is, v'yom velele revi'is. It's going to be rain on Wednesday nights, and pshat is that in the olden days, there was, in the times of the Gemara, there were different things around on Wednesday nights, and people wouldn't go into the streets on Wednesday nights, and therefore there'd be lots of rain because everyone's home. And also, belele shabosis. The minhag was to stay at home on lele shabbos. So then, as well, Hashem will give the rain then. B'shosh she'enon, b'she'en b'nei adam, or b'nei adam holchem aderech. A time when people are not going on the way. So I say, it's in the olden days, they didn't go to Shalom Zachas or the Mazdov. They didn't go out on Friday nights and Wednesday nights. So therefore, there would be rain at that time. That's be'itom. And the Gemara brings the ma'aseh with Hordas HaMelech, he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, in his times, the rain only came in the night, and by the morning, the rain had already blown away, and they had a beautiful ground which they can work with, and they can go out to. So Be'itom says, it comes out, well, Be'itom means the right time, it's going to be perfect for us. The best way, even though you could get rain in other ways, the rain's going to come in the best possible time, in the best possible amount. That's pshat in this bracha of be'itom. We see from here, and this farm ring out, we see from here many ways of how Hashem does chesed with us. One is that it's got to be done perfectly. Hashem could just say, you'll get your rain whenever I want to give it, or the amount that I want to give. No, but Hashem does it in the best possible oifen, the best possible way for Klal Yisrael. But not only this, if we look at this bracha and the brachas generally, the way Hashem gives it to us is in a way that we're not, that Hashem, it's not as if Hashem's giving us something. Rather, we're giving something to Hashem. Because the pasuk starts in B'chukosai Teilech, if we keep all the mitzvahs, then Hashem will give us these things. And it looks like we're just getting it, not as a present from Hashem, but rather as a reward and as a payment for our mitzvahs. So we don't need to feel so bad to receive this present, even though Hashem doesn't need our mitzvahs. Right? What does Hashem need our mitzvahs for? But Hashem's giving us these mitzvahs, giving us this mitzvah in B'chukosai Teilechu, and then when we do that, Hashem will give us the rain. So we're doing it in a way, we're getting the rain in a way that we feel we're deserving of it. And Hashem's not just giving us a matnas chinom. It's not just, as the Gemara says, it's not just nama de kisufa, it's not bread of embarrassment. We don't have to feel that we're getting it because Hashem wants to give us a present. We're getting it because of a reward for our mitzvahs. This is pshat, the Gemara says, Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezaki Ses Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give Klal Yisrael many merits. Lefikach Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvahs. Let me give us lots and lots of Torah and lots of mitzvahs. Now if Hashem wants to reward us, why does he have to give us so many mitzvahs? It makes it harder for us. The answer is, like we said, Hashem wants to reward us, but he doesn't want us to feel embarrassed. He doesn't want to feel as if we're just taking and taking from Hashem. So Hashem gave us lots of mitzvahs, because Hashem wants to reward us, and now we can get all the reward. We don't need to feel as if we're receiving a present from Hashem. Rather, we're receiving a reward for keeping the Torah, for keeping all these mitzvahs. We're not so embarrassed to get, we don't feel so bad to receive all these rewards which Hashem is giving us. The pasuk says, "Elocha Hashem Achesed." Hashem has got kindness. Ki ata meshalem leish kemaseu, because you pay every single person back kemaseu according to his actions. So the question is, well, what's the chesed? If we've done all these actions, then we deserve it. The answer is, no, Hashem gave us kemaseu. Hashem gave us all these actions that we have to do, and the chesed is we've got these actions to do, then we can be paid back for them exactly for what we've done, and we don't need to feel embarrassed for receiving the reward. That's true chesed, but we don't feel that we're on the receiving end. We just feel we're deserving of it. That's the true chesed which Hashem gives us. And as we all know, it says, Ma Hashem Rachum, just like Hashem is Rachum, Mahu Rachum, Af Ato Rachum, we should also be Rachum. We have to emulate the ways of Hashem. So in this way of chesed as well, first of all, to do it in the best possible oifen, the best way for the mekabel, for the person receiving it, should be done in the best possible way. And also, that we should make them feel as if they're doing something for us, not that we're doing something for them, like we see many times by the others and the emois, Avraham Avinu, the Malachim coming past his tent, it was 3 days after his Bismillah, it would seem as if he's doing them a massive chesed to bring them in. But yeah, no, Avraham Avinu begs them to come in. Begs them, do me a favor, come inside, give me the honor of coming to my house, it's an honor for me. That was the Avraham Avinu showing that chesed doesn't have to be just giving. Chesed is, you make the person feel as if they're doing a benefit for you. They're giving you that zechus, so they're giving you that thing. That's the way of doing chesed, which when we emulate the ways of Hashem and emulate the ways of the others, is to do it in a way, as we said, to do it in the best possible way, and also to do it as if we're receiving more benefit than they're receiving more benefit. The Mekabel should feel as if he's in fact doing us a chesed rather than we're doing him a chesed. I saw a beautiful story in one of the agodas this year. There's a Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael in the south of Eretz Yisrael called Rabbi Yosef Goldenthal in Ofakim. He travels around the world collecting money. And he was in America once collecting for his yeshiva. And he heard there's a very wealthy man who gives nice amounts of money to yeshivas. So he thought, okay, so yeshiva, let's go, let's try. And he makes an appointment to meet this wealthy man. And he, at the appointment, he tells him about the yeshiva, and the man writes him a nice, generous check. And Rabbi Yosef Goldenthal thinks to himself, I'm going to try and get a bit more. I'm going to try and schmooze him up a bit. I'm going to ask him, why does he give so much money to yeshivas? Right? It doesn't look like the most, as we say, yeshivish person. Why is he giving so much money, dafka, to yeshivas? He said, do you mind if I ask you a question? So I said, yeah, of course. So can you tell me, what's the reason you give dafka money to yeshivas? There's lots of other stockers, lots of other important things one can give money to. Why are you dafka giving money to yeshivas in such big amounts? And the fellow thinks for a few minutes, says, okay, I'll tell you a story. If you've got time for a story, I'll tell you a story. He said, when I was a young boy living in Europe, my parents sent me to yeshiva in another town in Europe. I don't remember which yeshiva it was. They sent me to yeshiva. And a young boy still arrived at the yeshiva after many, many, many hours of traveling. I've been traveling for a whole day. And I was starving hungry. Starving hungry. And I came to the yeshiva dining room. Looking around for some food. Didn't have anything to eat. And I could see no one was eating. I must have missed it. So I went to one of the boys and I said to him, well, where did I get a meal from? They said, oh, you don't know how it goes here? He said, no. So he explained to him how it works with Teg. Every day they eat at someone else's house, someone in the community is generous enough to give every single boy a meal. You've got to, go speak to the gabba. He'll arrange somewhere for you to go and have your meal. So he goes, finds this gabba, another bocha, and he explains to him how he's just arrived and he's starving hungry. Please can you find me somewhere to eat? And the gabba said, I'm very sorry. Everyone's already eaten today, and every single house has been used already. I can't find you anywhere to eat now. You wait till tomorrow morning, you'll get breakfast in the morning. Please will you wait? And the boy bursts out crying. He's just so, so hungry. I just can't wait. A young boy. And Gabba's thinking to himself, he says, you know what? There's one family I never like to send anyone to. Because they're a really poor family. It's an almona, right? There's no money there at all. They don't have food for themselves. But they always beg me to send someone to them. I just feel bad. It's a sudashin in my speckas lebaila. They've got no money. They've got no food. If you want, I'll send you there. And the boy is so hungry. Just so hungry. He just says, yeah, just send me anywhere. Just a bit of food I need. So he tells him to go to the other edge of the town. Explains to him how to get there. And this boy you know, runs off there to the other edge of the town. And he gets there and he sees this little hovel, house, whatever you want to call it. And you can smell all the smells coming out and hear all the noise of all the children. Yeah, it seems a bit Levitic in there. He knocks on the door. And one of the children open the door and they see Yeshiva Bocha there. And they're dancing with joy. Mummy, there's a Yeshiva boy here. Someone come to have a meal. And she runs to her mother and tells her what's going on. The mother comes out with a big smile on her face. And she says to him, please come inside. It's so kind. I'm so happy that you've come. You've always wanted the Yeshiva Bocha to come. It's such a big pleasure for us. Such an honor for us that you've come. And they bring him inside and they sit him by the table. And he looks around and you can see, you know, each child's got his plate with a dot of food on. And there's no plate for him. And the mother brings in a plate, puts it in front of him. And she says to all the children, children, we've got a zechus today, we can feed the Yeshiva Bocha, we can give some food to Yeshiva Bocha. Everyone should give a little bit of their food to this boy. Everyone should take off the plate, a little bit of food. And he says how they all took a nice chunk of their tiny little morsel of food and put it on his plate. And he sat there feeling really bad to eat it. But then all the children are looking at him and they're all pointing, eat my piece already, eat my piece of food already, I want you to eat my piece. Right, eat my potato, eat my peas, whatever it might have been. Right? They're all begging him. They want to do this mitzvah. They want to. It's the biggest chus for them that they can, that he should eat their food. And he went away from there. Obviously, he wasn't very full, but a bit feeling a bit better, but with an appreciation of what it is to do chesed and what it is to support a yeshiva and support a yeshiva bacha. The importance of also comes to amelus batayah. How so important it is to give money, and how a person should feel there's a chus. He shouldn't feel he's giving. He should feel he's taking. These children, they mamish felt as if they were taking. It's the biggest chesed for them that they were able to give this yeshiva. And therefore he said, after the Holocaust, I managed to move to America. I managed to set up a business. I became very wealthy. But I heard that this family was wiped out in the Holocaust. And therefore I decided from now on, I'm going to give massive amounts of money dafka to yeshivas, because this family were machshav yeshivas so much, and they felt it was the biggest kindness that they're able to give to yeshivas. I'm going to give all my money to yeshivas and support Torah in that way. So we see from here a similar thing. Giving doesn't mean giving. It could be taking as well. These family mamish felt as if they were taking, as if they were on the receiving end when they were able to give, to yeshiva bacha. After the brachas, unfortunately, we've got the parsha of the klolos. I have to drop a note now. We've got the parsha of the klolos, which we've got parsha of chukais, and we've also got parsha's kisavai. There's a medrash at the beginning of parsha's netzovim. Rashi brings down this medrash at the beginning of parsha's netzovim. How atem nitzovim hayoyim kulchem. Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, atem nitzovim hayoyim kulchem. You're all standing in front of Hashem. And Rashi says, what's going on here? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to speak to them like this? So Rashi says, when Klal Yisrael heard the klolos in Parshas Kisavai, the 98 klolos in Parshas Kisavai, and the 48 klolos also in Parshas B'chukosai, it says, hayriku paneim. They went green. They got frightened. They were deathly frightened of the klolos which they've been given. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Atem nitzom ayem kulchem. Har behechastem lamokim. You've done many angers. You've caused Hashem to become very angry. Veloy osa itchem kloya. But Hashem has never destroyed you. Bariatem kayom lefonov. You're still here. You're still standing. So you don't need to worry. Even though you've got these klolos, you don't need to worry. You're still standing. Hashem will, as if to say, Hashem will, you know, let you off from these klolos. And the question is, first of all, we all know the Gemara says, anyone who says Hashem will let us off, then Hashem will just let him off his life. That's it. He'll be destroyed. How could Moshe Rabbeinu say to Klal Yisrael, you don't need to worry? Right? You've got the klolos. You've angered Hashem. You're still standing. But you're not allowed to say that Hashem's just going to forgive you like that. How could Moshe Rabbeinu say that? And also, what was Moshe Rabbeinu trying to say to them? At the end of the day, they've done averus, lichastem lamokim, they've made Hashem angry, so the klolos should chas v'shalom fall on you. What was he saying to them? You're still standing, and therefore you don't need to worry. So, in Lev Elio, he explains that the klolos are not there as a revenge, which an akoma which Hashem wants to take chas v'shalom on us. Hashem doesn't want to punish us. The klolos are poshut there in order to put us on the right tracks. Make sure that we're still following the Torah, keeping the mitzvahs. Make sure we're scared to do averus chashon, to bring us to Yiras Shemayim and to go back to the Torah. once Klal Yisrael heard the klolas, and they had this fear, and they realized they'd done wrong, if so, they've already achieved their accomplishment. Right? The klolas are there to make us, to put us back on the track. We've become frightened when we've heard these klolas. And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Riku Panem, their faces became green. Who's going to be able to stand with these klolas? They realize they've gone wrong, and they realize that they should be destroyed. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, that now you don't need to worry anymore. It's been achieved already. The klolas have been achieved. You're not going to have to receive the klolas anymore. This is the inning of Yisurim. Yisurim are not there just to punish us. Yisurim are there to put us back on tracks, to get us back to Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says a moshel of a person plowing a field. So he wants to plant some beautiful plants, but what does he do to the field? He uproots it and he turns it over and he makes a mess there. But that's what the Yisurim do as well. They're there to turn us over and to bring us that we can grow. Once that's been achieved, then we don't need to receive the Yisurim, we don't need to receive the klolas. Masha Inkin, Chas V'Shalom, if we don't take that lesson, then the parasha in Nitzavim carries on that Pan Yesh Bochem Isha Isha, Asher, someone who says, Levovei Feinayim, Meim Hashem Lekein, Leches Lavi, Tzilakei, Shoresh Peridosh Velana, he says, Bishrirus Libi Eilech, I'm going to go in my own ways, I don't care about the klolas. Such a person, if he doesn't care about the klolas, then he's going to have to Chas V'Shalom receive the klolas. But a person who cares about them and he realizes, the Klal Yisrael realized, that the klolas are there for their good, and they're there for to put them right back, bring them closer to Hashem, then they don't have to receive the klolas. This is Pshat. The Gemara says, why do we read the parsha of klolas just before Shavuos and just before Rosh Hashanah? Says the Gemara, Tichle Shana v'Kilalei Seil, the year should finish off with its klolas, or Tichle Shana v'Bruchai Seil, and then we should start a new year with the brachas. Right, so Rosh Hashanah we're judged, and also on Shavuos we're judged on Peiros on things which grow in the field. So there's a certain amount of din on Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. We're saying to Hashem, Tichle Shana v'Kilalei Seil, we should finish this year with its klolas. What does that mean? How can we finish the year just by reading the klolas? How do we finish the year in the klolas? How do we accomplish that? The answer is like we said, by finishing off our year with that, putting us back in perspective, putting our mind in to come back to the Torah, then we're starting fresh now. We've got that fear, and we know to start fresh, and then it's Tichle Shana v'Kilalei Seil. We're finished with the klolas. We can move on. The Bi'ah Halach, the Mishnah Berurah in Bi'ah Halacha brings at the end of Chelek Dalad, where he brings all the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. He speaks a bit about the klolas there, the klolas in Parshas Bechukos Kisei and the klolas in Parshas Kisavei. And the Ramah actually says something very interesting there. The Ramah says we don't call up a specific person for the klolas. Rather, the Ramah says we should say Yamoid Misha Yiritzeh. Anyone who wants to come up should come up. I remember I was in Budapest many years ago, Parshas Bechukos Kisei, and the Taka did that. Some fellow was happy to come up, said Yama Mishirtz, and some fellow came up. But the Mishnah Berurah says that unfortunately there's some kehillas, don't say where they are, some kehillas who miss out the klolas. Don't lay in the klolas, they're so scared, they don't lay in the klolas in Bechukos Kisei and in the Mishnah. The whole parsha, they just don't lay in that Shabbos.
Some don't make the bracha, I've seen that
one. Yeah? Okay. But he says that some places they don't lay in the whole parsha. The whole parsha, klolas, they miss it out, they're too scared. The Mishnah says he's tried to be melamed tzchus on them. He says maybe the reason is that they're not so scared about the klolas, more they're scared about the fighting. And there's going to be a whole fight. Who's going to get the aliyah? Therefore, they don't want to cause any fights in shul, so they just skip it out. Most places call the Balkira or the Gabon, some places. But the Mishnah speaks very sharply against such people who skip out the klolas. And he says it's a moshel to a person who's told, don't go on a certain way, because there's lots of holes and pits and dangerous things on the journey. So the fellow said, I don't care, I'm fine. I'll just cover my eyes and I'll go through it. Right? So obviously he's going to get nizik, much harm will come to such a person. Whereas if a person realizes that the klolas are there, he's just got to go around, he's got to make sure to fit into them, to keep the Torah and to fit into them, such a person is much safer than a person who's going to cover his eyes and say, I don't want to know about the klolas, I don't want to hear about them, I'm too scared, it's not for me. No, we've got to hear them, and then to work out how to change our lives, that we can follow the Torah and to not chas v'shalom end up with the klolas chas v'shalom. The Torah puts the parsha of Eruchin straight after the klolas. Right, the Balaturim, you probably know the Balaturim says that there's 143 If you add up all the Erechin, it comes to 143, which is the number of Klolos, so it's Dokotats and Memoves. If we Mekai in the mitzvah of Erechin, then that will take away the Klolos. The Chayza from Lublin says another pshat is that after receiving these Klolos, a person might feel very meyuish. He might feel, you know, what can I do? Let's give up. Right? If I don't keep every mitzvah properly, if I don't follow the Torah correctly, what's going to happen to me? So Chayda says, no, after receiving the klolos, the Torah gives us the Parashas Erechin to show that when it comes to Erechin, every single person has the same value. Right? According to his age, every yid, every Jewish man has a value of 50 shkolim, whether he's 20, whether he's 60, whether he's the biggest tzaddik, whether he's the biggest rasha, whatever he is, every single yid has the same value to show that every single person can survive even with the klolos. However great he is, or however not great he is, however poor he is, every single person is the same. They've all got the same neshama. Might have some coverings on, but we've all got the same neshama, and we can all survive even with the klolos. We've all got that erech, we've all got that value to ourselves. So the message is, if we take the klolos correctly, then it'll be for our good. And in fact, the mefarshim speak out how many places we see the klolos turn latova, they turn to a brocha. The klolos themselves could turn for a brocha. I once heard they speak out many different ways how we see the brochas, the klolos turn into a brocha. My grandfather told me that at the beginning of the 19th century, unfortunately, many Yidden from Europe went to America and they went off. No options to live a frum life there, or very few options, and a lot of Yidden went off the derech, and they would send money to their parents, but they didn't want their parents to visit them, because they didn't want their parents to see their lifestyle, to see how they'd change so much in the golden of Medina. And the biggest bracha would be if the child would send the parent a ticket to bring him back. So it says in the klolos, "Va'achaltem basar b'neichem." It's a klolos chas shalom. A person's going to eat his own child's flesh. But the bracha can be, "Va'achaltem basar b'neichem." Your son will stay on the derech, and you'll be able to eat his meat. You'll be able to eat his food. You'll come to his house. You'll be able to trust his kashrus. That's a bracha in a way. There's many ways how people have turned things around to make the klolos into a bracha. And I saw an amazing story how the klolos turned into a bracha. It said the name of Rabbi Yaakov Motzpi, one of the chief rabbis of Yerushalayim, the Sephardi chief rabbi. He said there was a family living in Yerushalayim who had a child, a baby, a nice simcha, but after a few days, the baby was home, and the family was suffering tremendously because the baby wouldn't sleep at night. He wouldn't just not sleep, but he was crying the whole night through. Every single night, the baby would cry from the beginning of the night to the end of the night. And they took him to doctors, to specialists, tried everything, but nothing was helping. The baby would just constantly cry the whole night. You can imagine how it turned the whole family upside down. The children couldn't sleep, the parents couldn't sleep, couldn't concentrate in school, couldn't concentrate at work. Imamish turned the whole family upside down, because this baby wouldn't sleep at night. And they went to Rabbonim, they went to Mekubolim, they tried all different things, but still the baby was constantly crying at night. And one day the mother's walking along the Shuk Machne Yehuda, she's walking in the Shuk in Machne Yehuda, and she notices a piece of paper on the floor. And she bends down to pick it up, and she realizes it's a dirty piece of paper from a Chumash. Someone dropped it some time ago, sitting there in the gutter, quite dirty, a piece of a Chumash, paper from a Chumash. She thinks, you know, I don't know what this is about, but maybe Hashem's sending this to us to answer our tefillahs. I'm going to take it home with me. And she cleans it up, doesn't tell anyone about it, and she puts it under the pillow of her baby. And suddenly that night, baby slept the whole night. And the next night as well, everything changed. All the children are sleeping. Baruch Hashem, brought some calm back to the house. And the father didn't know what happened. He says to his wife, what have we done? Which doctor, which rabbi have you been to? What have we done? She says, I'll show you. And she goes to the baby's cradle and she takes out this piece of the chumash and shows it to her husband. The husband looks at it and he gasps. This is a page from the klolos. It's psukim from the klolos. And Pashki Savoy says, "Mufochad tolaylo v'yoymam." You're going to be scared at night. "V'loysamim b'chayecho b'boyke toymam yitin erev." You're not going to be able to sleep. It's going to be such tzoros, chas v'shalom, which the klolos say. The klolos under the baby, that should make him sleep. And he went to Rabbi Yaakov Motzpi, and Rabbi Yaakov Motzpi said, yes, the klolos are not there for our bad. The klolos, if we keep the Torah, and if we have emunah in Hashem, then the klolos are there for our good. So this lady, she had such an emunah pshuta, she had such an emunah in Hashem, that the page of Chumash has got such kedusha, perhaps it can bring some help to us. So Hashem changed the klolos into a bracha, that this child should be able to sleep. In Parshas Hazinu, we all know Parshas Hazinu is written as a shiro, it's written as a song. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus asks, why is Parshas Hazinu, which describes all the more tzoros which chas v'shalom can happen to Klal Yisrael, why is that considered a song? Well, according to the Pshat, there's Klal Yisrael. So why is it a song? Why is it called a shiro? And it's written as a song as well. What's going on? So says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, if you look at the end of Parshas Hazinu, there's one pasuk which says, Ru'u ato, see now, ki ani ani hu, that I am Hashem, ani omis v'achai, I'm the one who's got all the power, I run the world, I'm the one who causes all the tzoros to happen, or all the brochas to come to Klal Yisrael. And it says, we're going to come to that realization at the end of those klolos, that Hashem is in charge and we've got to follow the Torah. Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, that's why it's called the brocha. It gives a moshel, it's called the shira. That's why it's called the shira. The moshel is, a person is walking down the street and he trips up and he hurts himself very badly. Right? And he jumps up, he sees that there's a lot of pain and he's bleeding and he's in a bit of a mess and he says, I've got to run to the hospital to get myself sorted out. And he runs to the hospital and on his way he notices something on the floor shining. He bends down, he sees a big diamond. He grabs the diamond and he runs off to the hospital and he, you know, heals himself up. And when he tells his friends of the story, he doesn't start from finding the diamond. He tells his friends, you know, I was walking down the street and I tripped up and I hurt myself really badly and I was bleeding and I was in pain and all the things that, all the tzoros which he went through until he found the diamond. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says the same thing. Even though we've got all these klolos, but if that brings us to Ru'u Ato Ki Ani Ani Hu, if that brings us to the realization that Hashem's in charge and that we've got to follow the Torah, then the whole thing becomes a shira. All the klolos as well, they also become a shira because that brought us to that realization how Hashem's in charge. At the end of the parasha, the last parasha, we've got the parasha of Maisa Behema, of giving the tenth, b'chol masa bok of a tzoin, all the tenth of your cattle, kol asher yavetechas ha-shovet, anything which goes under the shovet, under the stick, or asiri yiyah kodesh la-Hashem. The tenth one should be kodesh la-Hashem, should go to... As we know, the owner has to take this tenth animal, every tenth animal has to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it within the confines of Yerushalayim. Question is, why is Maisa Behema different to all other Maisa and Truma? All other Maisa and Truma, we just take a tenth and give it to the Kohen, or Maisa Sheni, we take a tenth and eat it ourselves. Why here do we have to pass everything through? Every animal has to pass through, and then we take the tenth one, and ought to give it to the Kohen. So you probably have all heard the famous pshat is that the person should feel, the person's giving away his things, he's taking it to the Beis HaMikdash, he should feel he's got something for myself, right? He's got nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I can give myself nine. It's not so hard to me to take one and eat it in Yerushalayim. That's not so hard to me, right? That's one pshat. The question on that is, and then we should do that by everything. I mean, still, by Truma, we should do more so, even more so by Truma because we're giving it to the Kohen. So Reb Chaim Kaufman brings down in his pshat from the Tamei HaMikra, he says that by all other truma, maisa, whatever it is, there's tevel first. The whole thing is we're not allowed to eat anything from it. We're not allowed to use it for ourselves before we separate it. Once we separate it, then everything becomes chulin, and we can eat that, and then the rest goes to the kohen. So we've been mekadosh everything else. We've changed. We've not just changed the truma which we're giving to the kohen. We've changed everything. We've caused the change to take effect in everything. Whereas Maisa Behema, first of all, they're not connected at all. You can have a big field, animals running around. There's no connection between the animals. And also there's no din that you can't use the animals before you've taken Maisa Behema. So you're not actually doing anything. You're not actually correcting anything in the other animals. In order to correct something in other animals, therefore the Torah says we're going to pass them all through. By passing them all through, you've done, you've been mekayim a mitzvah in all the animals. Every animal which has gone through now, you've done a mitzvah with it. You've put it through the... Put it under the shaver, you put it under the stick, you'll be mekayim a mitzvah with it, and you'll be mekadosh it as well. So we see from here how giving tzedakah, or giving maaser, giving truma, whatever it might be, is not just, you're not just mekayim, you're not just doing a mitzvah with a bit which you're giving, but you're doing a mitzvah with everything you've got. You mekadosh everything you've got, and it can cause a bracha to come into everything you've got. Many stories said about people who are giving tzedakah, and they've seen tremendous bracha from giving the tzedakah in all aspects and in the panosa as well. I saw a story about Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Someone came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he had some issue with his tax. Right? And obviously he felt he wasn't mechuyev to pay it, he wasn't obligated to pay it, but he was being brought to court for a massive, massive tax bill, which he knew if he's going to have to pay this bill, which he wasn't really mechuyev to pay, it's going to put him into bankruptcy. So he he didn't have anything to say to the court, though he knew he wouldn't be able to win with his arguments. So he came to Reb Chaim to for brach, and Reb Chaim said to him, "Have you made sure to give Maisa all your money?" And the fellow said, "Yes, I'm very careful. I always make sure to give Maisa." So Reb Chaim said to him, "Okay, if that's the case, you've always given Maisa, then you don't need to worry. But don't go to court yourself, send someone else. Send someone else in your place, he should argue for you." So the fellow left Reb Chaim's house, and didn't understand why Reb Chaim said that, but he, on his way home, he met an old friend of his, and his friend said to him, "You know, why are you looking so upset today?" And he said, "Oh, I've just received a massive tax bill, which I don't really have to pay, and they're telling me I've got to pay it. And I don't know what to do." And Reb Chaim said to me, "I should find someone to go to court for me." So his friend said, "Oh, Gewaldig, I'm happy to go for you. I know how to speak in court. I'll go for you. I'll argue for you." And this fellow went to court for him, and after all the arguments, the court said to him, "We're letting you off. All you've got to pay is $10,000 for court costs and all the other costs which are involved." And this fellow was, you know, ecstatic with joy. Baruch Hashem, Reb Chaim's bracha helped. And he thought he'd go back to Reb Chaim to tell Reb Chaim that his bracha had helped, and he didn't have to pay the whole lump sum. He comes back to Reb Chaim and he says to Reb Chaim, "Baruch Hashem, they let me off. All I have to pay is just the $10,000. And Reb Chaim says, "What? I told you you're going to get off everything. $10,000, what's that about? Go home, check your documents away again. It must be you can give all your maisa." And this fellow went through all his documents again, backwards and forwards. Spent many hours going through his documents, and he came out, "Taka, yes, there was one $10,000 piece of income which he hadn't given maisa yet. He still owed $1,000 to Stocker." And in the middle of the night, this fellow runs to his neighbor's Rosh Hashiva, knocks on his door, wakes up the Rosh Hashiva and says to him, I want to give a donation to the yeshiva." And the Rosh Hashiva, "Can't you wait till the morning?" He said, no, I've got to give it straight away. And he drops off the $1,000 check at the Rosh Hashiva. And lo and behold, a few days later, he gets a letter from the court that "We're letting you off the $10,000. You don't have to pay anything. We're going to cover the costs ourselves." All right, so we see from here, the person who's makbid to give Maisa, he's careful to give Maisa. And he every penny is Maisa's been given. He doesn't just get a bracha giving Maisa, but it gives a bracha to all his parnasa. Gives a bracha to everything he earns and to all his business dealings. Why is it that Maisa behema has to be eaten in Yerushalayim and by the owner? Right, we see other matonas, the b'choy behema goes to the kohen. Firstborn behemoths go to the Kohen. Why is it that Dafka Maisa Behema, and we can ask the same question with Maisa Sheni and Netar Revai, why are these things Dafka eaten inside Yerushalayim? There's a beautiful chinuch that explains this whole inyan. Why is it that these things have to be eaten in Yerushalayim? It's a very long, long lesson. I'll just read out a bit of it. Mishroshe HaMitzvah, the reason of the mitzvah is, Shakel Baruch Hu Bocha Ba'am Yisrael, Hashem chose Klal Yisrael, V'chofetz L'man Tzidka L'yeis Eilam Kulam Oiskim B'Teira V'Yedei Shemai. Hashem once said the whole world, the whole of Klal Yisrael should learn Teira and should know the Teira. V'chokh Mosem, with his cleverness, Moshcha M'mitzvazu, Hashem gave us this mitzvah, L'man Yilmedu Yikchu Musa. Ki Yidei Elokim, Hashem knows, Roi B'nei Odom Nimshocha Achachayim. Most people are busy with their money, with their parnosa, with their gashmias, hapochos b'shagamu basa, busy with looking after their own bodies. They're not going to be busy learning Torah, Talmud, the whole time. Our king Siva b'svinose, Hashem made with his own understanding in a clever way. Hashem made a way now that every single yid will know the Torah. How's this? Every person wants to live where his money is, where his property is, where his dealings are. Every year is going to have to go, the family member is going to have to go all the way to Yerushalayim, and he's going to have to live there because that's where his money is now, that's where all his animals are. He's going to stay there till he eats up all his Maisa behema, all his Maisa shein. He's going to stay in Yerushalayim whilst he's there. And in Yerushalayim you've got the Sanhedrin who are going to teach Torah. He's going to learn Torah when he's there. And I'll call upon him, either the owner of the produce is going to go himself, the father, little my Torah, he's going to sit there learning Torah. If he's not going to be able to go, what he's going to do is Yishlach Lashom Echad Mibonov. He's going to send one of his family members, his sons, son-in-laws, whoever it is, Shiril Matshom, he's going to stay there with the produce, and he's going to sit there and learn Torah, B'yonizim B'yisim Peri, he's going to live off those fruits. U'metoich kach, says the Chinuch, from this it's going to come out, yeah, b'chol bayis, or bayis mekol Yisrael, every single Jewish house is going to have Ish Chocham Yudea Torah. It's going to come out, there's going to be at least one member in every single household who's going to know the Torah. It's going to be Mekayim, the bracha of Hashem. The whole world is going to be full of the knowledge of Hashem. Because if it wouldn't be so, if every town is going to have one rov or one chacham, I feel like they're going to have 10 people, people who learn Torah. Not everyone in the town is going to get to know the Torah. There's only one rov, and everyone else in the town, they're not all going to go to the rov to learn Torah. But in this way, says the Chinuch, every single day you've got someone in the house who's knowledgeable, who's a boki in Torah, he's going to tell them all about it. Men and ladies, and children, everyone's going to know. There's never going to be any aviras. Once every single house is going to have a yid, one of the family members or a few family members are going to be Bekim in Torah, because they went to Yerushalayim to give the Maisa Behema, therefore it's going to be Mekayim the Bracha, Moli Ha'oretz, or Moli Ha'oretz, Deas Hashem. So, this is so we see the tremendous Bracha from sending whether it's a son or a son-in-law, or a family member, having them learning Torah, and coming home, that brings Torah to every single household. That's a lesson from Maisa Behema. So just to sum up, we spoke about the brachas, how Hashem gives us the brachas in a way that's chesed, which is true kindness. It's done in the best possible way, the best possible way that we should receive it. And not only that, Hashem gives us that chesed. Hashem gives us those brachas in a way that as if we're giving to Hashem, we do the mitzvahs, so as if we're deserving of them. So we don't need to feel bad in order to take the brachas and the chesed which Hashem gives us. Then we spoke about how the klolos are not there to damage us, they're not there for our bad, rather they're for our good. They're there to bring us closer to Hashem. They can, if we take the klolos seriously and we take the message, then we don't have to receive them. They're there just to remind us, and adarabah, they can turn even to a brocha, they can even turn into a brocha for us. And the inyan of Maisa Behema, we said, is first of all that a person, by taking Maisa, he should realize he's not just giving that to the Kohen, or he's not just taking that and eating Yerushalayim, but he's giving a brocha to all his produce, all his business dealings. And the last lesson is, Maisa Behema teaches us how every single family has someone who's going to come close to Hashem in it, someone who's going to know the Torah, the whole Torah, as the Chinuch says, and that's going to bring everyone in the whole family, in the whole of Klal Yisrael, to learning Torah. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should taka b'zoicha to that bracha, u'mole ha'oretz, de'as Hashem, tichle shana v'kil lo'yseh, tichale shana, וברוך היסא, בשביל ביזויך גבלדגה קבולה סתירה.